That's something that we always need is an interest in your prayers. Because the desire of each of us, whose responsibility it is to stand before you, to deliver, we pray, a message that God would have fall upon your ears this day, to touch your hearts and your minds. Not something new, most likely, but that to renew your heart and your mind, and to bring again to your mind the covenant that we have with God as a people. I feel that I have a message this evening. My brother started it off this morning, or this afternoon, much of the same things that were impressed upon me. But I'd like to start by saying that there's many in the audience tonight that were probably too young at the beginning and through the Second World War to remember a poster that was scattered all over the United States. And on that poster there was a picture of the symbol of Uncle Sam representing the United States. And he had his finger pointed out like that. And he says, "I need you." He was calling men to battle for a battle of freedom. Tonight, if the Master was to walk into this room, He would point His finger and He would say, "I need you to fight a battle for me." You and I are in a battle. We've been in the battle from the day that we walked in the waters of baptism and took upon us the name of Christ. From that very day until now, it has been a battle that is ours, wherein that we were to represent the kingdom of God upon the face of this earth. We were to be an ambassador. We were to be one who would walk in a manner, one that the very moment that by their own volition that they walked into the waters of baptism had gone prepared with the armament that was necessary to take up the battle for righteousness. That's our heritage. You know, heritage is defined as a status or a lot required by a person through birth or birthright. And that's our lot. And that's the status that was required for a people and for an individual who had entered into the waters of baptism and who had picked up the reins to fight and to pick up the strength that they had received from the power of God to fight for righteousness' sake. You know, we read many wonderful things in the Scriptures wherein that God has set His hand among a people of His heritage, those who would believe and those who trusted Him. We read many miraculous things of those of the yesterdays. And as you hear them preached and taught over the pulpits and in the Sunday school classes and in your homes, you find that it tells of this brother and it tells of that brother or this sister or that sister of a mighty individual that God used as an instrument in His holy hand to further the cause of righteousness. And today, this very day, and I hope you don't get tired of hearing it, but this day that I view upon your faces, I am looking at the Peters and the Johns. I'm looking at the Apostle Pauls and the Lehis and the Nephis and the Almas and the Helamans and the Moronis and the brother of Jared of this dispensation of time of 1981 by the heritage of God the Eternal Father when we as a people walked into the waters of baptism and took upon us the name of Christ. And with that heritage comes the same love and the same directing power and strength unto a people as it did in those of days of old. Oft I hear our people pray for the faith of the brother of Jared. And you know, we should believe in that. We should believe that if the time came that we needed to have a light, whether it was a spiritual vision to a problem that came upon us as a people or as an individual, we should believe that if we went to the Lord concerning those things, that we could literally see the finger of the Lord touch and cause it to be bright and radiant. That's our heritage. By birthright, in the waters of baptism, the heritage of a people not weak, but strong. Not fearful. No, not afraid. But with valor. Not ones who have to draw away and cow down, but ones who have strength and power. For they know that the one who has created them, the one who has touched their heart and their mind and have drawn them unto Him, that same one still has the power to rebuke the strength of the adversary, to direct the hearts and the minds of the children of men. He has the same power to lift the burdens from the hearts and the minds of the children of men and direct their feet in the paths of righteousness. To send them forth not with a gun without bullets, but to send them forth armed with the armament that is necessary to subdue and put under their feet the power of the adversary. All of the Scriptures tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's only part of the story. A people who have taken upon them the heritage, the birthright of Christ, they too must be a people that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. A people that's mighty in the Spirit. A people that's mighty with that hope and that faith that our brother brought out this morning. The faith that brings forth the evidence, the proof of those things not seen, that touches the hearts of the children of men and drives the fears and the shadows and the doubts from within them and gives them that vision wherein that they might single their eye to the glory of the God who had called them and placed upon their shoulders the birthright of righteousness and a walk with the Lord. In Psalms, in the 61st chapter and in the 5th verse, he says, "For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name." And you know, my brothers and sisters, I'm looking upon the faces of those who God has given the heritage, of those who fear the name of the Lord. That fear that runs so close that it's a love that's so mighty and so powerful that it can't be bent, it can't be marred, it can't be turned, it can't be set in a direction in an opposite way. A love that is withstanding all powers and strength that shall confront the souls of the children of men. You know, sometimes we look at different things and we get all excited and we imagine things. As a people, we get to where we imagine things. We think, oh boy, I don't know whether the Lord's going to help us here or not. You know, the imagination of man runs away fast. And you know, when I was down at work here, oh, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, at coffee break, I usually go into a room there where Tom Karras is at, a brother in Christ, and we usually pour out some coffee and mix us a cup of coffee, and we usually sit down and sometimes study the Book of Mormon and visit about the Scriptures or about different things or talk to people who are there concerning the Gospel of Christ. And this morning that I was there, there was a young fella, his name was Billy Boo, he's a Spanish fella, and he was sitting there, and he saw me come in, and boy, that old pot was sitting there on a little electric stove, and that old water was just a-boiling, and the steam was blowing out the top, and so I took it, and I got a spoon, and I reached in, and I got me a little coffee, and I put it in the cup, and I dumped that hot water, and he could just see it steaming. I dumped it in there like that, and I stirred that up, and I turned around, and right like that, he said, "Oh, that burnt, that burnt." I never even touched him with a spoon. I just touched him with my finger. And you know, my brothers and sisters, so many times we holler when we aren't hurt. So many times we look for a boogaboo when there is none. So many times we fail to put our trust in the Lord. So many times we fail to realize that we're not in this battle by ourselves. That we have a friend that walks at our side. We have a friend that has promised us a strength and a power to subdue the enemy of all righteousness. And you know, sometimes we think, oh my goodness, I'm burdened, I'm hurt, I'm crippled, I can't do it. But when we're crippled in the Word, when we get to the place where we feel that we're faltering and we're dropping back in the battle for righteousness, then when it's time for us to redraw and get together and get the ranks together and figure out what in the world's the matter here, we have a general that has already conquered and subdued the adversary and cast him down out of heaven. The same one that says, oh my goodness gracious, what are you doing here now? The same one that he cast out many times as we read in the Scriptures. He's already conquered him. He's already conquered him. And oh yes, we hear in the Scriptures all the time, constantly. And the Lord told Peter, he says, Satan desires to have you. And don't just fool yourself for a minute, my lovely brothers and sisters, that Satan doesn't desire to have you, because he does. But I'd like to flip the coin for a minute. And I'd like to talk about one of all love and compassion. And he's called the Lord God Almighty. And he too desires to have you. He too desires to have you and to embrace you and to lead you and to direct your footsteps and mine. He too has a desire to hold you and to direct your life in a certain course. Just like the adversary wants to direct your life in a certain course, God wants to direct our life in a course of righteousness, in a course of eternal life with God the Father and with Jesus Christ. That's where he wants us to go. And as equally and as powerfully as the devil would like to come and consume us, even as a young lion seeking whom he may devour, there is a conqueror. There is a conqueror that was known as the Prince of Peace, the Counselor, the Almighty God, a Counselor called the Son of the Living God, the Anointed, that can subdue the lion and make it bow before him. That's the heritage of a people of the Church of Christ. My brothers and sisters, you and I have a heritage to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into the nations of the world. And when that time comes, though we may be few, yet we shall be mighty because of the power of God the Eternal Father. And when we go, we will have power to subdue the young lion who's seeking whom he may devour, and rebuke him and cause him to flee before us. That's the heritage of God's kingdom. That's the heritage of a people who believes and who have taken upon them the name of Christ. That's the heritage of a people who has earnestly, constantly sought the Lord and His will in their life. You know, He tells us that His Spirit is not a spirit of fear. And it isn't. It's not a spirit of fear. His Spirit is a conquering spirit and has conquered from the beginning and will conquer henceforth and forever. And it is a conquering power that is in the possession of those who have entered into the waters of baptism and have believed in the birthright of Jesus Christ, that they have power to overcome. And that's you and I. I'm viewing however many that are here today whom God for His own cause and purpose has touched your heart and have drawn you out of the world for a work to do. Now that work might not be on the front line. The work might be down just being sure that the supplies get up there. But never has anyone been called to the birthright of Christ if he hasn't had something for them to do. And so as I view you tonight, and as I view myself when I look in the mirror, I view an individual that is weak and most miserable. But I view an individual that has the right to be strong through Jesus Christ. I view an individual that if he humbles himself sufficiently before God, He will use him as an instrument in His holy hand to turn the power of the adversary and to pluck the teeth out of the mouth of the young lion. And don't think for a minute he doesn't have the power to pull those teeth out, that his bite no longer has the power, but he just gums. Because the God that you and I worship, the one that we have gathered together here to talk about, to testify about, to visit with and renew in our prayers, the one that we come here to talk one with another about, has all power in heaven and earth, and He's the author and the finisher of all things. And when an individual or a person is walking with Him, they need not fear. They need not fear. When you and I are walking with Him, what is there to fear? The Scriptures tells us none can harm whom God protecteth. He can set a shield about us. Let me give you an example here. When the song was going on, I poured water in this pan. I put three sponges in this pan. Three sponges. One of them, as you see, on its own is sunk. It's just flat saturated. You see that, everybody? Can you see it back there on the back row? It's saturated. It's sunk. But here's one that had a shield around it. And take notice that there's no water, no dampness, and it's floating. It didn't sink. And that's your life and mine. If we try to buck the adversary or the world, and we're going on our own, and we think that we're going to conquer something because I'm old Hugh Yates and I got the arm of the flesh and I can whip up 300 pounds on the curl, well, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you right now, you're going to sink. You're going to sink just like that sponge. You're going to be saturated with the things of the world. You'll be saturated with the things of the adversary to destroy your soul. But if a man or a woman or a child sets up the standard of the armor of the Spirit of God about their life and walk in that manner, the world will not saturate your soul and your mind and your heart, because it shall be single on the glory of God, the Eternal Father. And so off. Now, when I put that, if you'd take notice, when I put that sponge in there, it didn't just go in and just go like that and sink, did it? But as we were singing the songs and as that beautiful special number was sung, "I'll Be a Friend of Jesus," it just kept getting lower and lower and lower and lower until it was lost. Remember what Jesus said? He is the father of lies. He's the deceiver. That he gently leads the souls down to hell until he has them chained and bound where there is no deliverance. That's the way the adversary moves, and that's his power, is deceiving and a father of lies. But God the Father, who sent the only begotten Son into the face of the earth to walk in the tabernacle of clay, and to lay down his life and take it up again, he's not a father of lies. And his promises shall ring true. And each one of those prophecies that you heard our brother testify of this day and preach concerning them this afternoon will be fulfilled. Because he is the mighty one. And thank God that in the power that he possesses, he's a God of love and mercy and compassion, and one who is quick to forgive, like he asked you and I to do one towards another, to forgive and to forget. You know, you and I are to be a vehicle for God. That's to convey or to transmit or to express righteousness, the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And yes, to achieve the honor of a banner of a people and of an individual that is holding up the light for God. Now, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you right now that you're not going to just come in and pick up the gospel of Christ and just turn it on and turn it off like we can a light. I want you to know that when a person has embraced the gospel of Christ and they have entered in and have come to a desire to come in and the waters of baptism and to take upon them the name of Christ and to be a new creature, a new individual, to become a new man, a new woman, one whose thoughts is no longer on the world or what I can do in the world, but whose thoughts is to come to the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ that they might be able to help save the world. But we're like a little plant. That you plant a seed, and it's watered, and as it's watered, the first thing you know, we'll say it's a tomato plant. And the first thing you know, here comes a little old tomato plant coming up. And the first day that old little old tomato plant there, the first day it breaks the ground, you don't go out and pick off a beefsteak tomato, do you? No. It has to be nurtured. It has to be fed. It has to be watered. And it takes time to develop and to come out to wherein that it bears the fruit that meet for the souls of the children of men. And that's where you and I are at. And if we aren't careful, we could look at boogaboos about us and holler out before we're hurt and become root-bound to where we no longer grow. where we would no longer bear the fruit that we should. You know, the tree of life, that tree or that vine or whatever we want to call it, that you and I are part of as a body of Christ, and members in particular, you know, its capacity of bearing fruit is beyond our recognition or knowledge. That gospel of Christ with a righteous individual or a righteous people, the fruit that it can bear and put out for the souls of the children of men is so mighty and so much and so strong that it would be impossible for one to begin to convey to you the power of a people who are united in the Spirit of God. It'd be impossible to tell you of the hearts and the minds and the souls of the children of men that because a people went with a faith believing and went in a righteous manner, that God would use them as instruments in His holy hand, as polished shaft, and like the Book of Mormon says, not only would they speak out under the influence and the power of the Holy Ghost, but that Holy Ghost would carry it to the hearts of the children of men. That it would carry it to the hearts of the children of men. That it would soften their hearts, and it would make them stop and listen. I'd like to read in 3 Nephi and in the 10th chapter. And I'm going to read a few verses, and I think I'll start. I'm going to start in the 18th verse. This is Jesus talking. And He's telling them He's going to gather His people together. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that there are times that we have to stand before you as your shepherds. And we might have to tell you things that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. And you might go home perturbed at us. But that's our job. That's our job. Our job is to try to shepherd a flock. To shepherd a flock that comes to the recognition of the birthright of Christ. That will stand and pick up their cross and follow Him. And when that reaches that position, then will the missionary arm of the Church of Christ begin to be strong, because each one will live up to the requirements that are his and live to the standard that's required, and everyone will carry their load. And there won't be just one or two or three over here and two or three over here that's trying to carry all the burden, but in unity they'll carry the load of righteousness. In unity, they'll be ready to take upon them the battle for God. And He's telling about gathering them home here. And as He goes, and He says, now this is just as sure as the waters of Noah had gone all over the earth. This promise is just as sure as that promise was. And He says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness, I want you to listen to this, my lovely brothers and sisters, because I believe with all my heart and mind that no, we're not perfect. And we walk sometimes so often the frailties of men. But I believe that I'm looking at a people who God has chosen from the world to work. Who, if I were to gather people, and the more you're in the world, the more it makes you know that those who are of the household of God and your brothers and sisters in the blood of Jesus Christ, it makes you just marvel when you're around them. It makes your heart just leap with joy because you're not hearing the filth, the trash, the junk. You're not seeing it, but you're seeing a people that is striving, a people that is working towards that way. And it's a treat. It's a treat to gather together. It's a treat to go to the home. It's a treat to visit with a brother and sister in the gospel bonds of Christ because they're trying to reach out. And I believe that they are those who He would call His saints this day. I believe I'm looking at them. Oh, I'm not saying that we don't have frailties. But I am saying this, that I talk to a God that has the power to take the weaknesses in the life of this body of people and make them strong and powerful to the ability to subdue the adversary, not only in their own lives, but as well to help others who are stumbling and falling and who are misled and misdirected and are looking and hungering and thirsting and don't even know what for. He said, for the mountain shall depart and the hill be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Boy, isn't that the truth? Oh, maybe we haven't moved a mountain. No, I haven't seen a mountain moved. No, I haven't. But I've seen broken bones healed. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen little innocent babes healed of their sickness. I've seen those who haven't even had a desire to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and was living the life of the world drawn in and to this day become staunch members for the gospel of Jesus Christ and for righteousness. I see the gentleness and the love and the power of that God and the kindness among the children of men about us day by day. Though we walk not justly sometimes before Him, yet the hand of mercy is extended unto a people and unto a child who will just pause for a moment and take time to reach up and grasp that hand. Remember the song we sang in song service tonight in the back of the book? Stretch out your hand to me, dear Lord. Well, it's stretched out. Only thing that you and I have to do is just stretch out ours. And we'll find it waiting there for us. To grasp it and to hold it. To lead us and to direct us in the way that we should go. But let's go further. Shall not depart from thee. My kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Not even the peace shall be removed. My brothers and sisters, that's a promise. That's a promise that as we read in the Scriptures of the perplexities and the trials and the tribulations such as never been before and will never be again come upon a people, yet when we're shielded and walked through and by the Spirit of that God, the Eternal Father, we can walk with a peace. Just like Christ told us in the 14th chapter of St. John, not peace like the world giveth I unto you, but a peace that can only come through the Spirit of God, the Eternal Father, to a people or to an individual who will allow it to touch and mold their hearts and their soul and bring them that hope of the eternal life and the God the Father whom they should worship. Let's go further. O thou afflicted. Boy, how often have we heard that? Oh, I've got problems here. I've got problems there. Oh, we've got problems on every hand. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Isn't that quite a promise? All you afflicted and were tossed and torn from one place to another, he says, I'll lay your foundation for you with stones and with sapphires, with the gems of the knowledge of a God that cares, of one who is all-powerful and has all strength. And a people that's all-powerful and has all strength, if they'll believe in that God, if they'll believe in that God that said He came to preach good tidings unto the meek. The God that said He come to bind the brokenhearted. The God that said He came to give liberty to the captives. How about that? To proclaim liberty to those captives. To set those that are bound free. That same God that gives a peace during all the afflictions and the tempests. I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all the borders of pleasant stones. All your borders of pleasant stones. Now listen to this. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. How often have we said, oh my goodness, the way this whole world's going, oh brother, you know what in the world's going to happen to our little children? What's going to happen to our baby? What's going to happen to this? What's going to happen to that? Stretch out your hand. Take a hold of the Lord's hand. Take a hold of the promise of God the Father. And you'll know what's going to happen to your children. You'll know that He's going to feed you like a calf in a stall. And over the wings of righteousness He shall heal you. And that's through God the Father. That's through the promise of a people. And that promise is to you, like our brother brought out today, that as you took upon you the birthright by entering the waters of baptism, you become adopted heirs in the house of Israel. That shield is your shield and mine, if we'll allow it to embrace us, to engulf us, to be about us. In righteousness thou shalt be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression, and thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. You're not fearing. You won't fear. And you won't have to worry about the terror. Because the children are taught in righteousness. And the fear of what man can do are gone out of the lives of a people who have been touched and moved mightily by the Spirit of God. Did you ever stop to think what difference does it make if you tell your neighbor next door you believe in the Book of Mormon? Did you ever stop to think it don't make any difference if you stood on the street corner or on the housetop or on the biggest building in the world and testified of Jesus Christ and of the restoration and testified that the angel flew from the midst of heaven having the everlasting gospel to be preached to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, and it shall come out of a mountain without a hand and shall roll across the nations of the earth and subdue them? And fear man? Or fear the ones that are cut out of the mountain without hand, and it shall go across the nation and subdue them? Why fear man? What can man do? What can they do? Oh, they can take your life. They can take this physical life, but they can't save anything. They can't save your soul. Oh, they might give you a physical life, They might say, well, I'm not going to kill you today if you just don't pray no more. I'm not going to throw you in a fiery furnace. Or I won't feed you to the lions. But those of us who studied know what happened to that, don't we? Didn't do them any good, did it? That's because the Christ, the Son of the living God, pulled the teeth of that young lion seeking whom they may devour that Peter talked about. That's the one that you and I must trust in and look to and pattern our life after. That's the one that we must know that called us. That's the one that we must know that says, my brothers and sisters, my son and daughter, I have placed my birthright on you. And that was a birthright of righteousness. That wasn't a birthright of doing nothing. Never have you ever seen a birthright of God for nothing. It's an active birthright. It requires a dedication. It requires a work. It requires a people that's not slothful. It requires a people that has a desire to work and to be touched with a spiritual zeal. It requires a people that though they have power given unto them by the Spirit and the power of God, the Eternal Father, yet they walk and smite the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ in a humble manner with love in their heart for all mankind. Yes, carry a big stick, but walk softly. Carry the power of Christ with love, applying the fruits of the Spirit, that with that strength of the Spirit, it would go out and subdue and drive away the shadows, that they might recognize and comprehend the light of life. Behold, they shall surely gather together against thee, not by me, whosoever shall gather against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth the instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Do you believe that? I do. I believe that if we walk in a manner that God would have us to walk, that they can develop hydrogen bombs, they can develop anything they want to, they can develop bacteria bombs, they can have nerve gas, they can have anything they want to. And the same God that sealed the mouths of the lions, the same God that called three Hebrew children to walk in a fiery furnace, the same God that caused his Son to come and to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to deliver the souls of the children of men, has the power to set his hand and to take away the fears of the children of men and to protect them from all things. The same one, you know, that same one that calmed the angry seas and rebuked the winds. The same one that says, these words which I teach, they're not of me, but the Father which sent me. That same one. He has the power to hold his people and none can harm. And he has the power to deliver your soul, to deliver us physically, mentally, and spiritually. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall revile against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Now listen. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. You get that? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Do we believe that? Do we believe that that is the heritage of the Lord? Do we believe that what he said there is true? If we believe that what he said there is true, then that tells us that we've got a work to do and a promise. A promise that we're going to get it done and can get it done through and by the Spirit and the power of God. Alma, when he was talking, the son of Alma, when he was talking to him, when he laid down the reign of the judge, turned it over to another man and began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to go forth and to teach and to prophesy those things which were essential for the welfare of the soul. He went forth talking to him, and on page 315, he says, "But now, behold, I ask you, my brethren of the church, have you spiritually been born of God?" Now you say, what are you asking me that for? I'm asking you that for because there was a great man that you and I read from scriptures all the time. His name was Peter. And he saw a lot of miraculous, wonderful things. But nevertheless, Jesus had to go to him and said, "Now, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother." You know, my brothers and sisters, though we have embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ, and though we have said to ourselves and testified from time to time that we have channeled and have taken upon us the birthright of Christ, yet so oft we walk like an unconverted people. We walk without the trust. We walk without the dedication. We walk without the love that we should have as a converted people, that we could strengthen our brethren. And we can't give something that we don't possess. I can't give you a full course meal if I don't have one. And so until we become a converted people in God, how are we going to strengthen our brethren? We must be a converted people. A people who not only has at their possession that birthright, but puts it to use in their life. That puts it to use in their life. That's what it's all about, is living it. Let's go on here. He said, "Have ye received his image in your countenance?" That's a good question, isn't it? When we come about and we're in different places and we do different things at work, at school, wherever we're at, a play, do they see the image of Jesus Christ in our countenance? Is our walk in a manner that it glorifies our Father which is in heaven? You and I, soldiers, we're soldiers of the cross. We're the soldiers that were to take up our cross and follow Him. Do they see Him in us? Do they recognize that love that we have for them? Even though we don't agree with what they do, we don't agree with what they say, but that we have reached the position when He says that we should love our enemies. That place to where we're converted to the point that there's no doubt in our mind that that gospel of Christ applied to the life, it does miraculous things. Oh, we sang a song tonight. Oh, it is wonderful. And it is. It is wonderful that God has prepared a way for us. It's wonderful that God called people together to reach out as soldiers for righteousness to those who are hungry and thirsty. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that He cared enough to touch you? To touch me? You bet that's wonderful. Let me read a little more here. Have you experienced this mighty change in your heart? Isn't that sometimes a pretty good question to us? Have we experienced this mighty change in our hearts? Okay, Brother Paul. Okay, Priscilla. Okay, Nephi, Lehi, have we exchanged, have we had that change in our heart that he has touched our countenance? Do ye exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? I say unto you, can you imagine I want you to listen to this real close. I say unto you, can you imagine yourselves? I don't want you to think about that sister next to you right now, Marvin. I want you to think about yourself, each one of you. Can you imagine yourselves? That ye hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you, in that day come unto me, ye blessed. For behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth, and that he will save you. Can we imagine? Can we even begin to comprehend the joy that would flood our soul? You know, the old ancient brother said, well, now, when that guy was walking with us there, it didn't our hearts burn within us? Can you imagine the heart that will burn within you if you was to face him in heaven, say, any ye in my blessed? All the mocking and all the trials and problems and tribulations of this earth would just fade away. And it'd be like a vapor of smoke or a drop of water in the sea. That's what it would mean. And the joy that we would be fulfilled, the joy that would fill us would be beyond. We'd be just like our brothers and sisters in the ancient Book of Mormon time, that we wouldn't even be able to find the vocabulary to express it or to write it unto the children of men. I'd like to read a poem. I'm trying to hurry. I told Marvin I thought that one tape was going to make it. And I think it is. I'd like to read a poem that my grandfather Yeats wrote. And it goes like this. It's called The Dyke. It says, where the breach is made, as wrought by sin, destructive floods come sweeping in. Their tides run high and skies grow dark. Your dike is below the high water mark. Arise and build, nor stay your hand till safely reigns in your life's land. For he who sleeps in such dire day, by tides of sin is swept away. Remember about them slumbering and sleeping? That he who sleeps in such dire day, by tides of sin is swept away. Thy word, O Lord, our strength shall be, for in thee alone is security. And don't ever think that you'll find it anyplace else. For in him alone is security. By thee we build, by thee we stand, though tides roll in across the strand. Our souls in thee can be secure. By thine own strength we dare endure. Arise and build, though tempest toss, for God directs. None can be lost. Hark! The master voice, the builder's call, the tides, my sons, haste to the wall. He has not wholly done my will. Yet in love, I trust you still. My master, trust me. Shall I fail? No. Let me build against the tide and gale. My structure strong and strength is ill. Arise, my soul. Arise and build. I'm sure that there's not a one here that would have a desire to fail. I know there's not a one here that when that call comes, that they don't want to be ready to go forth and to build. They're ready to go forth and to build. And before you and I can go forth and build, there's one thing that we have to do. You and I have to know that we can trust the Lord. You and I have to know that as we took upon us when we entered into the waters of baptism, the birthright, that heritage, it requires vows. It requires a people who is courageous. It requires a people who is ready to give of their time, give of their heart, give of their mind and strength. It requires a dedication of your heart and mind. It will require a people who trust in the Word of God to the point that the cares of the world will not burden them down to slow down the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, my brothers and sisters, the cares of the world do. Are you aware of that fact? How often do we get bored, just wore down by the cares of the world and wore down to the point that then it begins to show forth in our work in God? We must set those things out. We must realize that those of us who have gathered together here this day, those who are yet to be called, those who are yet to be touched by that Spirit of God and drawn in the household of God, are the soldiers and are the ambassadors, are the apostles and are the workers of this present day, of this dispensation of time, known by the prophets of old, viewed by the prophets of old, and those who long to live in this period of time, because not only is there going to come loose the elements of the earth and all things upon the wicked and the children of men, but also will be turned loose the spiritual power of God the Father. With such power that the people who are the recipients of that Spirit shall skip with joy and be able to sing, "Oh, it is wonderful." That's a promise. Just as sure as the promise of the trials and tribulation. That's a promise, my brother. That's a promise, my sister, of that peace, of the strength, of the love of God to be yours to conquer, to be an instrument of righteousness in the hand of God. My prayer tonight is that as a people and as an individual, that we become even as Christ admonished people, that we come as a converted people. That we come that when we visit with the Lord, we don't visit with the Lord with the attitude that, "Oh, I know God has the power to do that, but will He?" That we'll come
such in a converted manner that when we kneel down and visit with the Lord, that we will be assured and know that we talk to His holy ears directly, and there will be nobody giving us a short circuit, nobody be giving us the wrong number, but it be direct communication between us.